I believe that in these past few weeks, particularly, God has been speaking to us, the church, and speaking to us as individuals. And I trust that some of the things we have heard that God has impressed upon our hearts and burned into our spirits, so that we reach a higher level of life than we have known before. I believe this is God's will for us. Particularly last week, we heard that God has prepared for us a life of rest. And I thank God for that word, because not only it challenged me, but it's helped me to really be gripped anew, which I believe has been the message of this church for 43 years. Not just victory over sin, not just forgiveness of sins and victory over sin, but and not even the baptism in the Holy Spirit, all that we need, but to enter into a life of rest. I trust that God has gripped some of our hearts last week, because it's so important, because everything is hinged on us entering into a life of rest. Everything falls into place. It's the most blessed place to be in, where we never get into unrest. Whatever happens, what anybody says, what anybody does not say, whether we are commended or not commended, anything and all the things that happen around us, that we are always at rest. That is our birthright, my brothers and sisters. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to lead us into that place. I want to read, first of all, a word that's spoken to my heart in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, Jesus said in verse 27, in verse 26, he says, "Truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs and wonders, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." He had just filled their bellies, and they sought him, not even because of the sign they saw, 5 loaves and 2 fish multiplied to feed nearly perhaps 8,000 to 10,000 people. And he says, "They do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to him, for on him the Father God has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, listen to this, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" And that's how it is, even that young man who came to him, "What shall I do?" We're always thinking of, "What shall I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And they came with this question, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, listen to this, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." This is the work of God, that you believe in him, in Jesus, whom God the Father has sent. Believing not just for the forgiveness of sins, not just that we are cleansed, our past is blotted out, not even for victory over sin, like I said earlier, not even that we may receive the power of the Holy Spirit, but a believing which is, I would like to call it, a reckless abandon. The picture that comes to me as I see, a swimmer, trainer, training a young child to swim. It's easy to teach children. I've watched that, and he has his hand under that child. And he says, just move your legs and flay your arms. I'm holding you, don't worry. And he's got this child there. And the child abandons itself to the trainer and then begins to learn to swim. And I believe that's what Jesus meant, believing. Believing where we abandon ourselves. Our feet are off the ground, like we heard recently in the conference, I think. that, you know, the vision that Ezekiel had, water up to the ankles, water up to the knees, water up to the waist, and then enough water to swim in. His feet were off the ground. That's what Jesus meant. That's the believing. I hope the Holy Spirit can impress that on our hearts, my brothers and sisters, because everything is hinged on that. If I abandon myself to Jesus, a believing where I know He's in control of everything, He will not let me go, like we heard. The Father let the hand of His Son go because He couldn't look upon sin, even though it was His own Son. But He will never let our hand go. And He's always there. He said, I'll carry you, even to your old age. And if you would only trust Me, if you would only abandon yourself to Me, this is the work of God. You want to do the work of God in your lifetime? Do I want to do the work of God in my lifetime? This is it. To believe in Him, recklessly abandon myself to Him, because the Father has sent Him for us. And thinking of that, I want you to turn now to Hebrews in chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. The opposite of that kind of reckless abandonment is where I don't trust. I don't trust Him. I don't completely trust Him. That's exactly what we see here. Unbelief. It says there, I want you to look at verse 18 first. And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. We heard last week so powerfully what Santosh said, that God has prepared a life of rest for us. But we will not enter because of disobedience. And disobedience comes from unbelief. I don't believe. I don't believe that I can really come into this life of rest, that nothing can faze me, nothing can unsettle me. I'll never get offended. No matter what happens, no matter what is said, I can come to rest. A rest where I am totally not all the time struggling and striving against sin. Where I come to a place, like it says there, where I cease from my own works. That is the rest, that the life that God has prepared for us. And unbelief keeps many people out. And I would think that, like to think that if hell was a place where they had cells like they have in the prisons here, cells for, you know, those condemned to death, cells for murderers, cells for thieves, and in hell if there are cells for liars and thieves and adulterers and fornicators, I would think that the cell for believing unbelievers will be overcrowded. Believing unbelievers, does that puzzle you? You can be a believing unbeliever. Because that's what we see here. You turn back, go back to verse 7 of chapter 3 of Hebrews. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice. Who is He talking to? Chapter 3 verse 1. Holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. Later on He speaks in Hebrews chapter 6 of those who tasted the good word of the ages to come, tasted of the powers of the ages to come, tasted the good word of God, who partakers of the Holy Spirit, and then they fall away. It's impossible to renew them to repentance. That's why I call such people unbelieving believers. And that's what the Holy Spirit describes here. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked Me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me, and saw My works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation. And I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know My ways. As I swore in My wrath, they shall not enter My rest. And we see that what we read at the end of chapter 3, that disobedience was because of unbelief. They did not enter because of unbelief. And the only reason we don't enter into that life of rest is because of unbelief, my brothers and sisters. And three times we read that word, today. Today if you hear His voice, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Not yesterday, never mind what happened yesterday. Never mind what happened this morning. You got upset or got angry or whatever it is that happened this morning. Whatever happened yesterday, if you confessed it to the Lord, humbled yourself and asked for forgiveness and got up again. Today, now, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit says. And that is the only way that we can keep ourselves from unbelief. That every day I hear God's voice. And I get up in the morning till I go to bed at night. And I wake up in the middle of the night that I hear. Because it's still today. And today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day that God has fixed for us to enter a life of rest. Last Sunday, and the word that God spoke to us, I hope it was a today for many of us, to enter into a life of rest. But if you miss that, I pray that today, this morning, if you hear God's voice, that you will believe. And I describe to you to believe it, where you recklessly abandon yourself. Lord, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust You. You will not let me go. You will not drop me in the middle of the ocean. You'll take me through to the other side. That is God's will for every one of us, my brothers and sisters. And that's why the Holy Spirit says today, three times, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And it says there in chapter 12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you. Who's He speaking to? Chapter 3, verse 1. Holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. To you and me, take care that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. There we have it again. Today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. So, I hope that we will hear every day God speak to us, my brothers, and we will hear Him this morning. Not just hear a good message, not hear a good message or something, you know, just to think about, but something that we respond to. No matter how badly it's gone with you up to this point, I believe that everyone listening to this morning, that God's will is for us to enter into a life of rest. And only unbelief will keep you out. But you can be free from unbelief if you respond today. Respond in repentance maybe. Respond in asking God to heal you of your backsliding. Respond because of your disobedience. Lord, I am sorry, I've been disobedient. And that's why I've not trusted You. But I want to hear Your voice today and I'm going to respond to You. And it says He fixes a certain day in chapter 4. We heard that last week. It says in verse 3, we who have believed enter the rest. Just as He said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And it says there in verse 6, therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached them, failed to enter because of disobedient, He again fixes a certain day, today. The Holy Spirit is emphasizing something there. He fixes a certain day, not the seventh day which our Seventh-day Adventist friends celebrate and keep as a Sabbath, but a certain day which is today. And He describes that. He says if Joshua had given them rest, He would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And what is that Sabbath rest? It says in verse 10, the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from His works as God did from His. We rest from our works, our striving, our struggling, and just abandon ourselves to the Lord. And let the Spirit lead us. And listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we find that very quickly we can enter into rest. We find that quickly we will overcome all the sins that we've been struggling and striving and battling over. Whatever it may be that has been dogging us. Whatever besetting sin there has been that's been tripping you up. Today, if you hear His voice, you can begin to taste victory, which you've been struggling and striving for so long over. So, He says, the one who has entered His rest has himself also rested from His works, as God did from His. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. So I trust that we will enter into that life that God has prepared for us, my brothers and sisters. And the other thing that hinders us is when we are not reconciled to God, and we are not reconciled to others. I want you to look at a word that has many times spoken to my own heart in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe this is the life that we should have entered into. In verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That's how you know that you are born again. That's how you know you've entered into the life that God has given you, that you have God's life within you. If you're in Christ, old things pass away, new things have come. If that has not happened, then you have had some kind of fake salvation. It's good to get help. If new things have not come into your life because you've repented and turned to God in faith and received the forgiveness of sins, then it's good to get help to make sure that you have the real thing. And it says that all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Notice that. He's given, in verse 18, given to us the ministry of reconciliation, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to believers, speaking to the church in Corinth. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. It's not to the world. It's not speaking to unbelievers. It's to those who are in the church in Corinth. And He says there, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled first of all to God. He made Him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The other sin that we see here, why did they harden their hearts? Why did they not respond to God? They were not willing to reconcile to God and His ways with them. They wanted their own way. They wanted to choose even their own leaders. They did not reconcile to all God's dealings with them, and that is why they were disobedient, and that is why they couldn't enter, because of unbelief. To reconcile to God in all His dealings with us, my brothers and sisters, whatever He chooses for us, and we think, why is this happening? Why is God allowing this? Why so long? To be reconciled, to believe, if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away, new things have come. God is at work in me. He knows best just which way to lead me. He knew best how to lead them in the wilderness. But didn't enter. In 2 years' time, they could have entered. But they refused. The very first temptation, the very first trial, they complained. If they waited a little bit when there was no water, God would have provided. You mean to say God would bring them out of Egypt and let them die of thirst? Just think of it. If they waited a little more, God would have said, these people are thirsty, let's give them water. Like Jesus, when he saw the people who followed him, they were hungry. He said, how can we send them away? They'll faint, by the way. Do you think God would let them die of thirst? They tested him. They tried him. They wouldn't reconcile to him. They said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's appoint leaders and go back to Egypt. And that is the whole problem with us who are called God's people. We refuse to reconcile to God and his ways with us, the way he chooses. And that's why we are always in perpetual unrest. That's why we never enter. And we can fall away, like it says there. We can fall away from the living God. And that really speaks to my heart. Be reconciled to God. I want to say to all of us here this morning, my brothers, are you reconciled to God? Are you reconciled in the way that God has been treating you? The way that he has been leading you? Oh, do you think, no, this is too much. It's vain, me trying to keep my heart pure, like they said in the time of Malachi. All this thing of judging myself, it's no use. You feel like that? Be careful. You're on the verge of falling away, my dear brothers and sisters. Be reconciled. He says, the Holy Spirit says, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And then be reconciled to others. Unfortunate chapter division there, chapter 6. Working together with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with him. We also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you see that? Today we can enter into a life of rest that God has prepared for us. And now is the acceptable time. God says, I listened to you. Now is the day of salvation. Be reconciled to your brothers and sisters. Be reconciled to your wife. Be reconciled to your husband. Be reconciled to your children. But first, be reconciled to God. This is the cause that they fell in the wilderness, my brothers and sisters. And the psalmist tells us that Moses knew God's ways. The children of Israel only saw his works. And in spite of seeing his works, in spite of seeing his miracles for 40 years, and all that God did, they would not reconcile. They refused to be reconciled to God. They refused to be reconciled to the leaders God had appointed over them. They wouldn't put their trust in leaders God had chosen for them. And they said, you know, we'll go back. We'll find somebody else to lead us. That's what happened in Jesus' time also. This is a hard thing. When he spoke about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, who can understand this? He said, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have eternal life. This is true bread, not what Moses gave you in the wilderness. That's what God offers to us. And some people went away. And that's how it is. And we're not willing to be reconciled to God. We're not willing to be reconciled to one another. We can sit in the same church and break bread at the same table and not be reconciled. Can you imagine that's happening in CFC? Not reconciled to your partner. Stopping breaking bread is not the answer, not the solution. It's a good thing if you have to. But to repent and say, why is it? Why is it I'm like this? I'm refused to reconcile. Now is the acceptable time. I wonder whether God is speaking to some of us, husbands and wives. Now is the acceptable time. He said, at the acceptable time I listened to you. You asked me for a job, I gave it to you. You asked me you were in financial need, I listened to you. Now is the acceptable time to be reconciled. To me, to God. God can give you all these things and yet be angry with you, my brothers and sisters, like he was with these people for 40 years. Not 1 year, not 1 day. 40 years. I was angry with this generation. Because they always went astray in their hearts. And that's where it begins. We refuse to reconcile to God in our hearts. We refuse to reconcile to our brother and sister in our hearts. And God said, they will not enter into my rest. So, we do well to take heed to what we read in Hebrews. Take care, brethren, lest there be in any one of you, brothers and sisters, all of us sitting in CFC, an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God, from refusing to enter into the life of rest that God has prepared for us, from refusing to enter into all that God has prepared for us, the joys of living in His presence, the joys of being in fellowship with our brothers and sisters with no grudge, no resentment, not a trace of it, no coldness. We're not in a cold war with anybody. Only my heart is warm with the love of God. The love of God fills my heart and warms my heart. I must come to a place where it's impossible to hate somebody. I heard Brother Zach say that recently. But a man who walked with God and said, it's impossible for me to hate anybody. I said, what a life. I want that life. Where it's impossible to get offended, it's impossible for me to hate anyone, I can only love. You prick me, you poke me, only love flows out. That's the life God has called us to. My brothers and sisters, not something way up there. It's a life that God has called us to live in these days, and particularly in these last days. So, let us give heed to what the Holy Spirit says. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Now is the acceptable time to be reconciled to God. Not, I'll think about it, I'll go back tonight before I go to bed. Now, my brother, sister. Now is the time for you to be reconciled with your partner, if you've not been reconciled. And all of us who are listening to this, and those who are listening to this, on the live stream. Now is the acceptable time. The Holy Spirit urges us in these last moments of time, be reconciled to God and His ways with us. And the way He is leading us, He's not planned for our calamity. He is planned for our welfare, to give us a future and a hope. He's not planned to drop you and me in the middle. We just abandoned ourselves. This is the work of God, Jesus said, that you believe. Abandon yourself to me. I know the best for you. I have the best plans for you. I will take you there. I will take you to the other side. You can't go by yourself. You will fail. You'll fall away. And that's why, to keep ourselves from unbelief, we do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Encourage one another daily, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitful of sin. Who is the one I can encourage daily? We don't see each other daily. We see probably each other once or twice a week. But my wife, my children, your husband, your children, encourage one another daily, lest there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Will we do that, my brothers and sisters? Will we determine today? I'm going to do that no matter how my wife treats me, no matter how your husband treats you. I'm going to encourage. I'm going to speak only encouraging words. I'm not going to spew out unbelief. It's terrible in a home where partners are spewing out unbelief to each other. It's terrible. It's hell. It's hell on earth instead of being a heaven on earth where we can speak encouraging words to each other. Not just at the meal table, but whenever we have opportunity, and build up fellowship with each other. What's the use of waiting for Sunday to meet with the brothers and sisters if I'm not encouraging the one God has given me, especially if she or he is in the Lord, is in Christ, is a new creation. He may be struggling. He has his battles also. She has her battles also, husbands. Encourage one another. And not point out each other's flaws and throw stones at one another. He says we are not to throw stones. We live in a glass house. You know what happens? And all of us have some kind of glass houses. So let's not throw stones at each other. The stone should have fallen out of our hand when we became a new creation, long back. Jesus had no stone to throw. He said to that woman, caught in the very act of adultery, neither do I condemn you. And he says that to us, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And if he says that to us, and if he says, I'll not remember your sins and iniquities anymore, why do we choose to remember each other's sins and iniquities? And what somebody did yesterday, what my wife did yesterday, what she did last year, and how your husband treated you? Drop those stones, my dear brothers and sisters. Let's encourage one another daily, lest we fall away from the living God. And the other thing I want you to see, in verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2, says, indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard, or with those who heard. And that's the other thing. If the word we hear is not mixed with faith, it will not bear fruit. It will not profit anything. It will be just a message I hear and go away from here. But when it's mixed with faith, and the other thing is, you know, in one rendering, it says that they were not united by faith with those who heard. I want to ask ourselves, are we united by faith with those who hear? Or we have our own little clique and we are always got the latest and what's happening to this one, who's getting the next baby, who's getting married next and all these things. But if we're united by faith with those who have heard, with those who have been gripped with this life, we will not fall away. But that was the problem. The whole majority were willing to unite themselves with the 8 people who when they went in to spy out the land, saw the people as giants. And they were like grasshoppers in their sight. But what did those 2 people say, Joshua and Caleb? We don't have time to look at it, but look it up sometime, Numbers 13 and 14. What did they say? What did Caleb say? And Joshua tell them, he says, they are grasshoppers, they are our food. God has removed their protection from them. If God is pleased with us, He'll give us to them. They are like food to us. We'll swallow them up. But they rather listen to the majority, and that's how it is today. They rather listen to the 8 people who brought back a bad report rather than to 2 people who had tasted the good fruit, who said, no, God is pleased with us. He will give us the land. And that's how sadly it is today, my brothers and sisters. You're not united by faith with those who hear. That's why you're in this condition. You like to choose those in your own, speak your language, or those of your own culture. You like to go along with those who pat you on the back, will shun those, or keep a distance from those who will help you and correct you. And it is sad. And that's why we don't enter into rest. They were not united by faith with those who heard. And if we would find fellowship with those who are gripped with the same life, we will enter into rest, and our hearts will be filled with the love of God, that it will be impossible to even hate anybody or get offended with anyone. And lastly, I want you to see that what keeps us from believing in the way like I described to you is because what Jesus says in John 5:44. He says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another? I thought of that many times. How can you believe when you're interested in being commended, when you're interested in being praised, when you want approval of the elders, when you want, you know, whoever it is to think well of you? How can you believe when you receive glory from one another? 5:44. And you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. Who's he speaking to there? Verse 39. People who search the scriptures, who study the Bible. And they thought that in them they had eternal life. And Jesus said, it is these that testify about me, and you're unwilling to come to me that you may have life. You are unwilling to come to me that you may have rest. You are unwilling to abandon yourself to me. Come to me, Jesus said. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me humility and gentleness of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And God had to say to Isaiah, to his people, repentance and rest, you will be saved, but you are not willing. And that's why we're not willing. We live for the praise of men. We live for the approval of men. And that is why we don't come into this life. May God help us, my brothers and sisters. We can keep our hearts from unbelief by encouraging one another. And by being reconciled to everybody and being free from the honor of men. May God help us. God has prepared a life of rest for us. God has prepared a wonderful life for us. And may we come into that life today. Today, say, Lord, I've been disobedient, but today I want to reach out to you. And now, if there's somebody you're not reconciled to, don't wait till tomorrow. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Be reconciled to God first. Be reconciled to one another. There's a wonderful life awaiting us, my brothers and sisters. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I wanted to share some areas on my heart where God has laid that we could close up in unbelief. We read in Hebrews 3 verse 14 that we become partakers of Christ when we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And we heard also there in verse 15, while it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. And we know it's talking about the Israelites, and we heard how they hardened their hearts up in disobedience and in unbelief. They were consumed with the leeks and the onions of Egypt. They wanted to go back. They wanted to choose leaders that of their own choosing. They couldn't stomach the bland manna which was their daily bread in the wilderness. They couldn't break out of grumbling and complaining about their circumstances, about the people that God had joined them with. And in all their pleasure seeking and in all their grumbling, they lost sight of God. And it can happen so easily in our lives, brothers and sisters. In our daily lives, in our murmuring and complaining, in our lack of being reconciled to our partners, in our own pleasure seeking, we too can lose focus of the areas where Christ wants to work in our hearts. And our focus goes elsewhere. I was thinking of a circumstance in Mark chapter 4 verse 37. Mark chapter 4 verse 37. And we read there about the disciples. The disciples are stuck in a storm in the middle of the sea. And they say to Jesus, Lord, don't you care? I want to paraphrase that and read it like this. And there arose a fierce storm in their lives. And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up, about to sink. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion, at rest on his father's breast. But they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? We talked about being reconciled to God and about being reconciled to our brothers and sisters, even our wives and our husbands. Is there a complaint in me? Lord, don't you care? Don't you care what's happening to me? Don't you care about my circumstance? Do something. Change this. But you know, the Lord is more interested in changing what is deep inside me, in the deepest, darkest recesses of my heart, much more than changing my circumstances or changing my partner. How easily we forget that. I want to share again from Scripture an incident about someone who closed up in unbelief in In John chapter 6, we read about this man in Bethesda who had been lying there 38 years. God gave the Israelites 40 years time, a whole generation, but they closed themselves up in unbelief. And this man was lying there 38 years. In John chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had been already there a long time in that condition, 38 years in his sickness. And he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" And the sick man answered, "I have no one." And I was thinking that this man would be saying in his heart, "This world is a rat race. I have no one to help me. Before I can get there, someone else steps in front before me and I lose my chance to get well. I have no one." He was sinking in his self-pity. He was consumed in it. But this man was also struggling with sin. We read about that in verse 14. He was struggling in sin, but he had completely lost sight of it. Because Jesus tells him in chapter 5, verse 14, he said, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, lest something worse happens to you." You know, my circumstances and all my grumbling and complaining may hide me from the real challenge, the areas of disobedience and sin in my life. Have the worries of this world, the desire for other things entered in and choked the word that the Lord wants to release us with and made it unfruitful in our lives? God wants us not to just look at our circumstances, but to gaze on Jesus. Jesus is the author of our faith. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who will help us to run with endurance the race that is set before us, that we may not be distracted from circumstances and lose focus of the real challenges, the real disobediences in our life. To the man in Bethesda who was ill there, Jesus said, "Behold, you have become well. Sin no more." God wants to do something more than just fixing our circumstances. He wants to handle the challenge within where we are closing up in unbelief. He wants to set us free from that area. And back to the disciples who were caught in the middle of the storm, was in Mark chapter 4, verse 39. To them, Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And then he said to his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still not have faith?" God wants to do something within us. He wants to give us the faith that in the midst of the storms of life, he is able to hush and bring us to a rest. And then last, I want to look at the man, an incident of a man who closed up in unbelief. We, not only in unbelief, but in unforgiveness also. We talked about the ministry of reconciliation, reconciliation with God and reconciliation with man. I want to read from Matthew chapter 18, verse 26. And here Jesus tells the parable in Matthew chapter 18, verse 26. Jesus talks about the parable of the slave who had been forgiven $10 million, a huge amount, $10 million. He had no means to repay it. He owed that debt, a debt of such a huge amount of $10 million. The Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him of his debt. Shouldn't we, if we were in that position, shouldn't we have been taken up by the vastness of the great debt that I had been forgiven? I'd been forgiven much. Didn't the Lord want us to bring us to this place where we love much and respond with mercy much? But that wasn't the case with this man. He refused to be reconciled with somebody who owed him 1 lakh rupees, let's say. That fellow slave owed him 1 lakh rupees. It's a big amount, yes. And he began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." And in verse 32, in Matthew 18:32, we read there, "His Lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt that you, when you entreated me, should you not also had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? See, 1 lakh is a significant amount. It amounts to something. But compared to that $10 million which the Lord has forgiven me, where is 1 lakh rupees? It's about 10,000 times more the Lord has forgiven me. Lord, help me, Lord, to release my hand of any chokehold that I have on anybody. The Lord wants us to focus our eyes on His largeness, in His vastness, the goodness of His kindness and His dealing with us, instead of being consumed by the bitterness of unforgiveness. I want to end with this hymn, Jesus, I am resting, resting. We talked about rest in the beginning. We heard that is where God wants to lead us to. Everything falls into place, we heard, when we enter into a life of rest. And I want to read the first verse of that hymn. Jesus, I am resting, resting. In the joy of what thou art. God doesn't want us to be consumed by circumstances or people. He wants us to look at Jesus. The person of Jesus is who delivers us from unbelief into life. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon me, Lord, let my eyes be taken up by you. And thy beauty fills my soul, and by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. God wants us to be vessels filled with gratefulness, filled with thanksgiving, and that can break the chains of unbelief in our life. Amen.
I love driving. You know, I love driving. So when we drive, we have to keep our steering wheel all the time. We have to focus on the road. We have to make sure it's not deviating to the next lane. Or, you know, sometime in a life, it's like a steering wheel. Whenever there's unbelief, whenever there's unrest, oh, there's something wrong. I'm crossing my boundary, or I'm crossing my lane. I'm not on the right lane. I have to bring it back. I have to go back to the Lord, show Lord where I am. Most of the time we get into unrest, or we don't get into rest because of unbelief. In the past 2 days I was thinking, Lord, why I get into unbelief? God showed me very specifically, powerfully, which is written in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. We are not rooted in this. That's why we get into unbelief. We don't have a firm foundation. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. My dear young people, my dear brothers and sisters, we get into unbelief because we don't know that God loves us. We are not rooted in this love. I have a Father who loves me with an everlasting love, my brothers and sisters. I wish I can shout it out that God loves me with an everlasting love. Yesterday I was thinking about my salvation, how God gave me salvation. I could see only one statement might change the whole course of my life, that Jesus Christ came to love and save sinners. He came to save sinners, and he came to love me. My brothers and sisters, of course, we can quote to sin and many other things. That's why I come into unrest or unbelief. But basically, we are not rooted in this. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, I'll read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 onwards, I'll read. For this reason I bow my knees before Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ can dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. My dear brothers and sisters, we have to be rooted and grounded in God's love. You know, as it says in the Matthew, the Lord's Prayer, that I have a heavenly Father. My heavenly Father knows how to give, how much to give, when to give, through whom to give. If I have this assurance, I will not be anxious. I will not get into unrest. You know, this spies, Brian read about that in Numbers chapter 14. You know, they sent the spies to spy the land to see whether they can enter into the... You know, the majority of people, they did not see God. They saw the problem. They saw the giants. But here, these two men, the Joshua and Caleb, they saw God. Verse 8, Numbers chapter 14, verse 8. If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into the land, gave to us, and the land which flows with milk and honey. What a wonderful faith these brothers had, my brothers and sisters. It's not emotion. They saw God. I'll go one step backwards. You know, God loved them. That's why God sent Moses to bring them out of Egypt. Do you believe that? God loved them. That's why they brought them out of Egypt. And if He brought them out of Egypt, He will not just leave them somewhere. He will complete the work. My brothers and sisters, whenever we are in unrest, we have to see whether we are forgetting God's love in our life. God loved me with an everlasting love. And He wants me to be addressed. And Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, my brothers and sisters, many times we sin because we forget that God loves us. Let's think this scenario. Imagine somebody loves us, our father, mother, our wife, or even our elders. You know, we don't want to do something which hurting them, because we know they love us. Even our parents, I heard testimonies like one brother said, I left a particular habit because I didn't want to hurt my mother. My mother is a believer. Let's put that love to million thousand more. God loves us, my brothers and sisters. If I know that fact, I won't sin. I won't get into unrest. I won't insult them by getting into unbelief. God knows when to give, how to give, how much to give. He is our Heavenly Father. Let's not forget this factor that God loved us with an everlasting love. Let's encourage our brothers and sisters to get rooted and grounded in God's love. I see most of our young people live like orphans. We don't have this foundation. We don't know that we have a Heavenly Father. We don't know that He loves us with an everlasting love. Satan has blinded us with this unbelief. Satan has blinded us to see our Heavenly Father. May God open our eyes to see that we have a Heavenly Father and He loves us with an everlasting love. Let's get into this rest. When we are into this, when we are rooted and grounded in this, we'll never get into unbelief and unrest. Amen.